We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
They gave us about 2 days to be hanging out without the news going crazy. Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. I'm Steve Rivero here with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, an insane, I guess, kind of. Is today the legal tampering period? Is that why all this shit's happening? I don't know. Insane day in the NFL. So much news coming out of all corners. The Rams involved. It is almost 6 o'clock on the West Coast, Monday night. Jesus, I wish it was Tuesday. On the West Coast. So we will try and keep our eyes on the wire as this podcast goes and see what comes up. But if anything happens after 7 p.m. West Coast time Monday night, apologies. Johnny, what a day, man. How you doing?
I mean, this is an exciting time, man. I always look forward to the NFL offseason. And yes, I mean, today is the first day of legal tampering, which is odd because it may as well just be free agency because, yeah, just about every team is tampering.
I feel like there's a new signing every 2 minutes at this point. Tommy Townsend just got a 2-year, $6 million deal from the Texans. You love to see it. Punters flying off the board. Will Lutz signed today. He's obviously a kicker. I know he's not a punter. But the Rams, kind of shockingly, made some waves on the offensive side of the ball today, signing guard Jonah Jackson and tight end Colby Parkinson. We're going to talk about both of these. We're going to, start with Jackson. Obviously, it's the bigger news, the bigger signing. Jonah Jackson, Detroit Lions offensive guard, formerly now Los Angeles Rams offensive guard. He gets a 3-year, $51 million deal with $34 million guaranteed. Jackson, we can talk about more in depth of it, but played in Detroit for 4 years, starter pretty much every year at guard. He was a Pro Bowler in 2021. Pro Football Focus grade in 23 wasn't amazing, but not bad. He was a 45th highest rated guard, but this was kind of a low year for him grade wise. He was a lot higher at 69.3 2021, 66.1 22. This year he was 61. But Jackson, clearly an integral part of one of, if not the best offensive line units in the league in Detroit. He comes to the Rams. Johnny, your reaction to this news? The Rams are now paying $33 million annually to guards pretty much for the next 3 years. I think we can talk about what this means for Steve Avila in a bit. It's pretty safe to say he will be moving over to center. And so you lock in a core of assuming that Avila is playing center, I can't imagine this goes any other route, of Jonah Jackson, Kevin Dotson, and Steve Avila as your interior offensive lineman for the next 3 years. How are we feeling? This was I did not see this one coming.
I don't think many people did see it coming. It was certainly an opportunity that I think Les Snead, went out and took a look at. And in all intents and purposes, you know, while maybe not the biggest, splashiest sign that you could find in this legal tampering period, it certainly was huge news because it certainly showed the priority that the Rams had for the 2024 season. And by doing this, it shows more of a commitment to not only protecting Matthew Stafford, but also for Kyren Williams as well. And that's amazing because, you know, really the Rams haven't had like a really, really solid offensive line unit like this potentially in quite some time. You know, even back with the Andrew Whitworth era, it was really Whitworth kind of doing the heavy lifting for a lot of the team. And now it's kind of the opposite issue. Really, the rest of the team is starting, or really the rest of the offensive line is starting to look like a really solid line, as opposed to now left tackle quite possibly being the weak point of the offensive line.
Yeah, I think pretty easily the weak point.
Yeah, and that's incredible because to sit here and say that's the weakest point, especially considering last year, it's incredible. It's a remarkable turnaround there. And even down to center, we were kind of discussing this earlier in the year about how Coleman Shelton was kind of a meh center, you know, certainly got the job done. Never going to wow you in any way. Well, now you moved one of your promising younger talents on the offensive line to center. And, you know, this it's not even a weird move at all, because one of the reasons why I felt like Sean McVay was drawn to Steve Avila was his, you know, experience at being cross-trained at center as well. He played center for 2 years at TCU as well. So his familiarity is going to come through here. And now you essentially have an upgrade at center and you have another solid guard to replace Steve Avila. So I love this. It's it is a lot of money to be invested in the offensive line. But as the saying goes, man, the game is won and lost in the trenches. So this is the Rams kind of approaching the team a little bit differently, and I like that.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too deep down the road on Parkinson, but that signing also signals, all three of these moves, Dotson included, signal that they want to run the fucking ball, which is shocking, you know, from a Sean McVay staff. But these, yeah, you don't make these two moves today, in addition to signing Dotson, if you are not going to you're committing to protecting your quarterback and you're committing to running the ball. And so Kyren Williams got to be loving this. Stafford's got to be loving this. This move has grown on me as the day has gone on. You know, I was kind of really surprised when it dropped just because I didn't even know if they would want to pay one guard, and now they're paying two of them. And as you mentioned, Avila played center well at TCU. So I think, I'm sure if you listen to McVay when they drafted him, I'm sure they mentioned versatility. They love offensive linemen with versatility. So, yeah, you're really shoring up the middle. I think they'll probably end up drafting a left tackle in the next year or two. I don't think it has to be this year. If they're able to keep Jackson with that tender, Alaric Jackson, our left tackle, then you're probably fine for this year. You could still draft a left tackle, but I want to touch, we'll circle back a little later to what they could do with these draft picks. But yeah, Jonah Jackson, an awesome game. How do you feel about the Detroit? You're more in the trenches than me on this kind of stuff.
In Detroit, as you alluded to, had one of the more promising offensive lines in all of football last year. Part of the reason why Jared Goff was able to succeed, in the past couple of years is because, quite frankly, he had more time to throw the ball. And you're essentially hoping that by the addition of him, Jonah Jackson here, you're doubling down on that, hoping that, you know what, I have faith in Matthew Stafford. I think he's a better quarterback than Jared Goff. And if I'm giving him more time to throw the football, I want to see what he can do. I want to see how far he can throw it downfield, which is an interesting thought. I love this. I love the fact that, Jonah Jackson having that experience in protecting guys that like to hold onto the football like Jared Goff does. So in essence, I do think that this is a much more impactful move than what many initially think. But I have to say, Steve, it wasn't a prediction that I certainly had, but at the same time, I dig it, man. I really do.
Yeah, I like it. How much I like it will depend on what they do at edge rusher and cornerback in the next couple of weeks because, obviously today's moves signal that they may have taken some of the wrong lessons from how the defense performed last year, where instead of being like, you can fine-tune the edges and make this an elite unit, and maybe they will, again, a lot is going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I hope the lesson they took wasn't, oh, we could just punt this and they'll be fine because we have Aaron Donald. We'll see what happens there, man. Yeah, this is dope. It's a very un-Rams move to just throw a bag at a guard right now again. But it's cool. I'm here for this. I know we've talked about the Joe Noteboom situation a bunch and like they could restructure him and save, I think, $10 million. I think they should just cut him after this. Wait till June 1st, get the $15 million in cap space this year, throw money at vets around the edges. I mean, that's what I would personally do.
And I think that's what's ultimately going to happen. I feel like if the Rams were really considering, and this is assuming that Joe Noteboom's camp is okay with the idea of restructuring, they could be like, you know what, you guys offered me this contract. I feel like I deserve the money. And well, the Rams could just simply cut him and save all kinds of cap space after June 1st. So, based on the moves today, I think that's what's ultimately going to happen. And maybe that's what they were kind of hoping with Noteboom is maybe he could essentially be the our Jonah Jackson. But in the end, the Rams just ended up upgrading, and it costs a lot more than it would have with Noteboom, obviously. But in the end, you're gonna save, a lot of cap space for 2024, and you get your upgrade. So why not?
Yeah, and for those uninformed on Noteboom, if you're a new listener or anything, if they cut him today, he's obviously got a big contract. I think it would be $15 million in dead cap and $5 million in cap space. And if they cut him after June 1st for whatever reason, I think it's the opposite: $5 million in dead cap, $15 million in cap space. And they could restructure him and free up that money. But yeah, you can't pay two guards this much money and try and have keep the luxury of Joe Noteboom as your reserve offensive lineman when you have so many needs on the other side of the ball. That would be kind of wild to me. Let's quickly talk about Prize Picks. Our sponsor, Prize Picks, we love them. It is the best, easiest, most enjoyable daily fantasy app. And the reason we love Prize Picks and I love Prize Picks is because when I log on to some of the regular kinds of daily fantasy apps where you're setting lineups with salary caps and all that, it's kind of confusing. It's overwhelming. And even if your lineup does well, if somebody else's lineup does better, you're not winning money. Well, with Prize Picks, you were just being given stat lines, more or less. Let's say it's a basketball season. You get a line that's Stephen Curry, 3.5 three-pointers. You either pick more than that or less than that. You add a couple other spreads into your parlay, and you put those together. You put in the amount of money you want to bet, 5, 10, 20 bucks, whatever you're feeling. And if all your stat lines hit that you predicted, you're winning money. It doesn't matter what anyone else did. It doesn't matter what else happened around the league. That's it. It's simple. It's easy. And best of all, with Rams Talk, you can get a first deposit match up to $100. So if you put in $100, you will get $200 in Prize Picks money to play with. Football's over, guys. And we need to give some life into our sports watching experience while we wait for the season to come back. Prize Picks is the best way to do that. Use our promo code RAMSTALK, RAMSTALK, for that first deposit match, as mentioned, up to $100, or you can go to prizepicks.com/RAMSTALK. Send it out to our sponsors, and we'll get you back to the show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, Johnny, the other news of the day. The Rams have signed Colby Parkinson, tight end on the Seattle Seahawks, to a three-year, $22 million deal that includes $15.5 million guaranteed. So pretty much at least locked in. I haven't looked at the fine print here. I would imagine for the first 2 years of this contract, for those confused because Tyler Higbee's on the roster, you probably forgot that he tore his ACL, right?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe he tore his MCL as well.
Yeah, so he's injured. He probably will be back in 2024. He probably won't be back for training camp. I don't know what the timeline of him coming back is. Based on this move, you know, you could read this move a couple ways to deal with that, because it's a three-year deal, so it's not just to cover for Higbee this year. In 4 years in Seattle, here are Colby Parkinson's stat line. He had 57 catches on 78 targets for 618 yards and 4 touchdowns. Most of that came in the last 2 years. So 618 total yards in 4 years in Seattle. He's going to be getting about $7 million annually. he's a good run blocking tight end, though. That's what he's best known for. According to Pro Football Focus, he was the 7th highest graded run blocking tight end last year, though the 46th highest graded tight end overall at 57.4. That was actually lower than Tyler Higbee's grade last year. Johnny, I want to get your thoughts on this first before I jump in. How do you feel about the decision to bring in Colby Parkinson at about seven and change a year?
You know, Parkinson in general would be an okay bring in. But at 7 to 7.5 million, I'm not sure I'm thrilled with that. Especially because while, yes, the Rams do have a lot more cap space to play with than they have in a long time. But I would much rather throw that money at, you know, a more pressing need than, because this by definition is a luxury signing. And again, I wouldn't hate this. Not that I hate it completely, because I do like the potential that Parkinson brings to this team, especially because when you have this kind of trio of Higby when he returns, Parkinson and Davis Allen, it kind of makes sense. But again, this is a very big investment for a guy that basically was kind of buried in a very crowded tight end core in Seattle. I mean, again, this is a team that had Will Disley, Noah Font, and now, you know, of course, Parkinson.
All three got paid.
And that's so weird.
Font got 3 years for $21 million to stay in Seattle. Disley, I don't know, who did he sign with? The Chargers or the Dolphins?
The Chargers.
The Chargers, he got 3 years, $14 million. So they all got, Font and Parkinson got pretty much the same contract, then Disley got a little less, but like they all got re-signed to somewhat meaningful contracts.
And that's the bizarre thing. And Steve and I were kind of talking about this before before we started podcasting, that the tight end market has such a surge in price that it's actually kind of amazing. And while maybe this is the future, that tight end just has become such a impactful salary in the NFL, it happens. I mean, it happened with guard, as we are seeing now. But it's so bizarre that a guy that was essentially second/third string tight end is getting this kind of money. And albeit he will probably have a much bigger role with Los Angeles, especially with Higby out. But it's still bizarre. I still don't know if I like the idea of $7 to $7.5 million a season, but at least I can sort of see the thought process. It's not one of those signings where it's like, okay, I honestly have zero idea why you did this. Again, this is more of a commitment to running, and overall him as a tight end is not a bad prospect, but, very big investment, more than I'd be willing to invest in him.
Yeah, I don't like this move at all. I hope I'm wrong, as always. And I trust the front office. They know what they're doing. They're very smart. They're very savvy. They have made mistakes before, as has everybody. And my gut tells me that this is going to be one of them. Like you mentioned, like, they were all just splitting time over there in Seattle. Maybe it's because they're all good. It could be because none of them are good. But I mean, just like, I get run blocking is valuable. But $7 million a year for a run blocking tight end. And like, I don't want to talk about these moves. With like implications of like where the money could have been spent, because we're so early in free agency, we don't know what they're going to do, but it's hard not to with this one. Like, if you threw that $7 million at any cornerback or like any capable safety or like any interesting edge rushers, like, I think it's just so much of a better investment than a tight end. Unless they see something in Colby Parkinson that other people don't see as a receiving tight end. The Rams last year ran 93% of their plays out of 11 personnel. They ran 90% of the plays out of 11 personnel in 2022. Despite this investment, like, I just don't believe that they believe that Colby Parkinson is a 80 to 90% snap count guy. Do you?
No, and I think that's going to be something that they're going to take a look at as far as, you know, maybe utilizing tight end a little bit more, particularly with the blocking scheme. But I imagine that they're going to, you know, throw a few passes his way as well. But at least early on, until Tyler Higbee comes back, I think their devotion will most likely be Davis Allen as far as pass catching goes.
Which is like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I mean, unless Davis Allen comes out in week one and is just a new man, a different breed, you give Colby Parkinson this money, you got to make him your number one tight end, at least until Higbee's back. And just for those keeping him at home, keeping score at home, I don't know what the fuck I just said, they're paying $20 million to tight ends next year. And I don't know if they have a top 30 tight end. Nah, that's kind of mean. Top 20. Higbee was bad last year before he got hurt. I haven't watched enough Colby Parkinson to really make a decision on him, but, you know, I don't know. Did they just pay $8 million for a slightly better Johnny Munt? Like,
I wouldn't go that far, but Johnny Munt is an interesting guy. I would have liked to have back also, but would have been much cheaper. But
it feels like the void they think they're missing. I know Parkinson is a much better receiving tight end than Munt, but like,
for sure.
So are the both of us. I don't know, man. I don't get. I'm really scratching my head at this one. This is just kind of like baffling. They have so many needs. You could get a cheaper blocking tight end. I don't know if really the receiving upside is there. Maybe it is. I just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. The fact that like none of those guys broke out in Seattle, like I'm going to be shocked if we go in next year and Will Disley, Noah Fant, and Colby Parkinson are all good, because my gut tells me none of them are very good.
I do have a bit of potentially good news for you, Steve.
Yes.
So I know that we kind of harped on Parkinson being such a waste of money, or at least not the best use of the money. It may be the better way to phrase it.
Yeah, that's probably the right way to phrase it. I wouldn't be surprised if it was both. But the wrong use of the money right now, I would say, is the bigger concern.
Yes, there is potential that'll work out, but moving more towards my point here, one of the biggest takeaways that I had in all of this, while it's a lot of money that they kind of threw around already. I mean, they devoted quite a bit of money to Dotson, to Jackson, and now Parkinson. You know, the fact that they were also interested in the edge rusher Andrew Van Ginkel, out of Miami, the Miami Dolphins, that's actually a cause for celebration a bit, because it also means that they're not done yet and they're not forgetting about defense at all. Van Ginkel, I think, would have been an excellent addition if he was able to sign with the Rams. Unfortunately, he ended up going to the Minnesota Vikings instead. And, you know, the Vikings kind of threw a two-year, $20 million contract at him. So he's not as well touted as, you know, a Hunter goes, but you know, at least they're considering edge rusher, which they obviously know that they need to have someone opposite end of Byron Young.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to go into the year with no new defensive additions. I think this, you never know, because you never know what they're going to do with that first round pick, but like, they're definitely going to draft. I think I've been saying that I'd be happy if they drafted a couple corners in the draft. I think they will do that based on today's moves. I still think like it's good that they're interested in Van Ginkle. They have to make some moves to clear up money right now, right? Because they had I think they had $20 million entering today, $28 million, and they spent 24. I'm sure there's some funky math with the Parkinson and Jackson contracts to free up more space than we would think, but like, did I just bang something? I don't know. They need, if they wanted to chase like Danielle Hunter, they would need to make room. I think they have guys they can restructure pretty easily. They haven't done any of that yet. But I don't know, man. I'm very curious to see what they do. If they had unlimited cap space and a stacked defense right now, I still wouldn't really like this Colby Parkinson signing. I wouldn't be as negative about it if like we were set at cornerback instead of edge rusher. But like this feels like an overpay. Like he's not worth this much money.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I mean, another thing to consider is that we just talked about Joe Noteboom being, you know, freeing up quite a bit of cap space. So I think that's what they're probably keeping in mind, is that, you know, Noteboom's going to free up a lot of space for us because, yeah, it pretty much hit this, that ship has sailed.
With a big swing tight end or edge rusher, you're saying?
I mean, I think you can maybe bring in another guy, and this is Les Snead here, man. The guy can somehow create enough cap space to sign just about anyone, and then worry about cap space later.
Yeah, this I tweeted this today. They're spending $20 million on tight ends, on not just tight ends, because spending $20 million on tight ends is different than spending $20 million on Tyler Higbee and Colby Parkinson. And even if Tyler Higbee didn't get hurt, I would stand by that being fucking preposterous. You're spending $20 million on tight ends, and like, these guys are just like guys. I don't even mean that disrespectful. Like, I'm sure they'll be like, Colby will be like have moments. I'm sure he'll be productive run blocking. Tyler Higbee, when he's healthy, is usually playable. But that Higbee extension, even before the injury, is age like milk. That's a tough one. But right now, with players on the roster, their starting secondary would be Kobe Durant, Darian Kendrick, Quentin Lake at the star, Russ East, and Jason Taylor, I guess. Obviously, they're going to make moves. Obviously, they're going to use, I'm assuming, a lot of draft capital on secondary guys. But, like, we probably need to add four guys or re-sign guys. You know, like, that would, if Jordan Fuller signed the same exact contract Colby Parkinson signed, how would we feel? You know, like...
Like shit.
I mean, I would rather spend it on him than Colby Parkinson, dude.
No.
I don't believe you.
I wouldn't want it on either. Yeah, I think that's my conflicted statement.
Weird move. But I mean, so this kind of, like, obviously this as I mentioned, signals that they want to run the ball. I don't know how you can really look at it any other way. The running back market has been kind of crazy today. I'm going to try and pull up the list of guys that have signed, but a lot of names that we pointed out as like vets who would be on the cheaper side, Gus Edwards, Antonio Gibson, got signed today for not that much money. But the market's flying. Saquon Barkley went to the Eagles, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Tony Pollard goes to the Titans, DeAndre Swift to the Bears, Devin Singletary to the Giants, Gus Edwards to the Chargers, Antonio Gibson to the Patriots. Derrick Henry's the big fish still out there. I think, unless I'm missing somebody, pretty much every other big running back signed today. And they're still Houston. They're still Baltimore.
Aaron Jones.
Who? Aaron Jones. Oh, yeah. Aaron Jones got released.
Yep.
Which was also crazy. So Houston, Dallas, Baltimore are the teams in play. Even if those teams want to draft a running back, you have to imagine they signed somebody. It's going to be interesting how this plays out, because it seems like people are saying that they don't like this draft class for running back. And as a result, with the little more cap space they have, teams are willing to pony up. They're still, like you mentioned, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon's still out there. Zach Moss is still out there. But even like the commitment you're making to, as crazy as it sounds, signing Parkinson and Jonah Jackson, it makes me want to sign a backup running back even more, just in case something happens to Kyren Williams when you're committing all this money to being able to run the ball.
And I think that's the plan. I don't think they're done adding people. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had another running back in the draft.
God.
You know it's going to happen, Steve.
I'd rather just sign somebody.
You know they're going to get a wide receiver, and you know they're going to get a running back.
I'm fine with them drafting receiver. I just, like, we can't do another Zach Evans, man. Like, draft somebody who can play.
Or Cam Akers.
Or Cam Akers, who's still out there. Like, dude, I'd fucking take Zeke.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
I don't know how much it'll cost if it's like $3 million. If they gave him like $3 million for 1 year, I'd be fine with that. I think Zach Moss, AJ Dillon might end up being too expensive, especially there's still teams that need running backs out there. Do you like Dearness Johnson? I kind of love Dearness Johnson.
I don't dislike him.
I want him for free. I want Rashad Penny, too. Bring in all these guys that I think are good that might not be good.
I like Rashad Penny. It just terrifies me to sign him.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins is still out there. That's the name I meant to bring up. That's still the guy I want. I've said that, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. That's the guy I want.
I wouldn't hate that. In fact, I like him better than just about any other guy we've mentioned so far.
Yeah, except he's made of glass. But, hey, we have the protection now.
So is Penny.
Yeah, I know. Get them both. Get them both.
And they'd still somehow become injured.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Almost former Ram Brian Burns, Johnny, gets traded to the Giants today for a second and a fifth. My God, what a disaster class by the Panthers to not accept our offer of 2 first-round picks.
The Panthers are the epitome of what not to do as an NFL franchise. Like, holy shit, how do you not get a first-round pick out of arguably the best running back in football, and even worse, one of the more promising edge rushers in football? And they were offered 2 first-round picks by the Rams, only to now only get back a second round and a fifth round pick. Yeah, someone there needs to be fired.
What a What a huge, like, thank God. No disrespect to Brian Burns, who's a beast. I would have loved to have him on the team at a different cost, but Christ, dude.
And I'm with you, Steve. I love the guy. I think he has a lot of potential, but I don't love him for $150 million contract. The second highest edge rusher in football.
Yeah.
He's a great player. But I'm glad that trade did not fall through.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. What other moves have happened around? You wanna run through some of these moves? Any crazy shit happened today that you were like, did that actually just happen?
There was plenty of that. I mean, we talked a lot about the running backs that moved out of the way, but Steve, talking about one cat franchise that seems to like to shoot themselves in the foot, let's talk about another. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars paying Gabe Davis? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that they need to address the receiver position, especially since it seems like Calvin Ridley's on the way out. But I'd rather have Calvin Ridley than Gabe Davis. I'm just saying.
It's not even Gabe Davis got 3 years, $39 million, which is like not even that bad of a contract. But it's more just like, I feel like they just keep going after guys who like, you know, are not the guy. Like with him and Christian Kirk, who are like both completely fine players who are very playable guys. Fine, very, like pretty, I think Kirk's better than Davis, but like Kirk is a great second option. Davis is a good second option. I wouldn't say great. But like they just refuse to go get the guy. And I think Calvin Ridley is better than he's definitely better than Gabe Davis as well. He might get more money. But I don't even know if he will.
Yeah, I would be pissed if I'm a Jaguar fan because, you know, and then to top it off, they invested in Calvin Ridley by trading for him only to basically watch him go.
Yeah, they didn't trade much for him, did they?
No, but still, it's like you had a lot of faith in Ridley enough to make that investment, and then you kind of replace him with someone that isn't as good as him. I don't know. Maybe they see something in Gabe Davis more than I do, but
I love that one. The receiver market sucks.
Yes, it does.
I'm really interested to see how much guys get paid and like who people talk themselves into.
I'm curious to see if the Bengals will trade T. Higgins, was reported that he wants a trade.
If I am in the market for a receiver right now, I'd much rather give up picks to go get him, honestly. The only guy who, like I don't think there's a top guy, like a wide receiver one in the market.
No, not at all.
Hollywood Brown and Ridley could be number one options if the other options are really good, but they're not, like, I don't view either of them as, like, alpha guys.
No.
Hollywood.
They're support.
Yeah. But the best of the best support.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
A couple other moves I wanted to point out is I'm a little bit shocked that the Raiders gave Uncle Rico or Gardner Minshew a two-year, $25 million contract. You know, I'll give them that.
I actually kind of like the contract. I'm not going to lie.
I just... You just moved on from Jimmy G, and then you're gonna sign Minshew. I will say that he's better, but how much more? I don't get it.
Well, so it's like, look at their options. They I don't know what I just did there. They don't have a top pick. I don't know if they want to trade for Justin Fields. I don't think I would if I were them. I don't know why. That just doesn't feel like a good fit.
I'd rather have Fields than Minshew.
Yeah, I would too, but Fields could potentially... If you trade for Fields, like, he might... I don't know. I think this is, like... It feels like a stopgap because they don't have a high pick. If a guy falls into their lap, or if somebody falls down the draft board and they could trade up for him, this doesn't really prevent you from doing that. I think it's $15 million guaranteed, so I'm guessing at 2 years, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed. You could probably cut him after this year for negligible dead cap. It's just like, who else is out there? Cousins signed, and I don't know... I don't think that would have been a good move for them either. I don't hate it for the Falcons, but, like, I don't know.
I kind of hate it for the Falcons, to be honest.
I don't know, man. I want to see Kyle Pitts succeed, and so I'm happy about it.
Are you a Kyle Pitts owner?
In one dynasty league, yeah. But he's just fucking good, dude. Free the man. Kirk Cousins, for real, 4 years... $180 million, $45 million a year. No, I don't think anyone in the history of sports has went into more seasons where people look at his contract and are like, what? Than Kirk Cousins. Every time he signs an extension or a new contract, you're just like, holy shit. For Kirk Cousins?
And I still say that, man, because I get it with the Falcons. They just went through a season with Desmond Ridder as their quarterback. They're desperate. I get it. But at the same time, it's like this is a guy coming off an ACL tear, and he's old.
Yeah, I would have rather went for Fields if I were them.
Yes, in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And it's thinning up. My favorite move of the offseason by far is after Russell Wilson was cut, it came out that any money he makes this year would go to the Broncos because I don't know how, just because of how he was cut or how his contract situation went. So he signs with the Steelers for $1.2 million. Is so fucking great. I love it so much. And I actually like the move for the Steelers to bring in Wilson, because I don't think Kenny Pickett's good.
Oh, Kenny Pickett sucks.
Yeah, so...
More than likely, what's going to end up happening is the Steelers will probably take a guy, maybe if there's a guy that falls to him, like a Michael Penix or something like that, or a Bo Nix, they take a shot there with their 20th pick. But,
I don't know. They made the playoffs last year, right?
Yes, they did.
If you make the playoffs and then are able to sign Russell Wilson for $1.2 million, I would not take a quarterback this year. I would try and put a team together.
Well, here's the thing. I love the signing because, I mean, what do you lose here? You lose nothing.
Yeah. Russell Wilson at $50 million a year is disgusting. Russell Wilson for free. He's still good. Like, how good? I don't know. He's still clearly a starting quarterback.
And that's why this is a brilliant move. But at the same time, it's not a quarterback for the future for the team. So I do think that it would be within their best interest to look at a younger quarterback here, because the difference here than, like, say, like the Rams, who have an aging quarterback themselves, the difference is Matthew Stafford's really good.
And they have financial commitments to him. And yeah, you know you can win with him. You don't even know if Russell Wilson would be on the Steelers next year, even if he was good.
Exactly. So that's why, like, for me, and especially the draft next year, as far as quarterback goes, oof, It's not looking good.
Yeah. Hey, I think besides Atlanta, I mean, every one of these quarterback moves has left teams flexible. I guess Tampa Bay's out of the market with Baker getting the bag. How about that?
Good old Baker. Yeah, I thought it was a solid contract and everything. I think it was a great fit for both sides. And yeah, I'm happy for him, man. I'd like to think that the Rams were a nice pit stop before he got paid.
Yeah, I'm so happy for him. I don't know how I feel about it for the Bucks, but it's only 3 years. So you're not wrecking yourself forever. Any other things pop out of here today? That
the only other interesting notes is just like a few former Ram players, like Leonard Floyd to the 49ers. That sucked.
yeah. That's a great signing.
Yeah. I do find it interesting that our boy Greg Gaines re-signed with the Bucks, but at a sparse $3.5 million because last season was not so good for him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. If after you said Greg Gaines' name, if you put a gun in my head and said who does he play for, I would not have been able to answer correctly. I honestly had completely forgot where he plays.
Yeah,
I guess for good reason. If that's all he got.
It's actually kind of interesting because, you know, this was a guy that we saw as a must sign last year, and didn't turn out that we could because of cap constraints. But now it's like, wow, maybe it was because of the Aaron Donald effect.
Yeah. Hey, I take him back.
I would too.
Some of the tweets that go out today, like Rappaport after Gardner Minshew signed, after he signed, he goes, he'll compete with Aiden O'Connell. Will he? I don't think he will.
It's obvious that O'Connell is a backup quarterback. That's what he is.
They said the same thing about Russell Wilson. Like, yo, there's no way Russell Wilson is signing with a team for free unless he is told he's going to be the fucking starter. Like, there's no world where Tomlin was like, you can compete with Kenny Pickett. Like, he was definitely like, you're the guy.
I like your Mike Tomlin voice, by the way.
Like, my instinct was just to go with a deeper voice. That was a bad impression.
It was a perfect impression. In fact, I feel like we should find a clip to match that with. That would have been perfect.
I fucking love Mike Tomlin, man. I can't believe people want him to leave the Steelers.
If that's the case, and McVay ends up retiring, please consider signing Tomlin.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin's the man. I'm sure we'll be back here in the next couple days because today was crazy. We could be back tomorrow for all we fucking know. We'll be back for y'all as the news demands it. So we'll part ways for now. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Ferrero, at Johnny5Not6, at Talk Rams. Tweet at Talk Rams. Let us know what you think of these signings, especially Colby Parkinson. If you disagree, I'd love to hear it. And we'll talk to you guys soon.